Welcome back to His Time. It is Holy Tuesday, April 15th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the Daily Lectionary. Our guest pastor this morning is Pastor Todd Frusty from Trinity Lutheran Church in Davison, Michigan. Good morning, Pastor Frusty.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about Trinity Lutheran Church in Davison, Michigan.
Well, we are about maybe about an hour north of the Detroit area. We're kind of a smaller sized church. We've got a lot going on, though. This past year we started just some new ministries. We started the International Student Ministry down at U of M, University of Michigan in Flint, where we've met some neat folks, some folks from all over the world. We do some ministries, too, reaching out to people who are going through some tough times in life. We serve people at a homeless shelter once a month. We also have hooked up with Family Promise this year, which enables us to open up our doors to house families who are homeless for a week at a time.
Well, it sounds like you're quite busy, and I guess I would assume you have services going on this week for Holy Week as well, correct?
Yes, we sure do. Maundy, Thursday, of course, Good Friday, and of course Easter.
Well, wonderful.
Busy week.
Well, thanks for taking some time this week to study God's Word with us here on His Time. We appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure.
We are in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19 this morning. Any background you'd like to give us on the text before we start digging in?
No, it's just a neat chapter in Hebrews where the author is encouraging us to really take a look at Jesus and keep looking to Jesus, and also comparing him to Moses and showing how Jesus is much more than Moses.
Very good. Very good. Well, as we study the text today, if you have questions, you can give us a call or an email. The phone number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us kfuo@kfuo.org as we're getting into Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19 this morning. Well, I'll read the first section for us, and then let's see if we can dig into it. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, or 1 through 6, I'm sorry. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our hope. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Holy brothers, who are the holy brothers? Who is this letter speaking to?
That'd be speaking to all who know Jesus, all the faithful, both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are made faithful through faith in Jesus.
And so, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him. Jesus is an apostle, a high priest of our confession. How is he an apostle and a high priest of our confession?
You know, it's kind of interesting to see Jesus referred to as an apostle.
Yeah.
It's, the apostles have an apostle, or they're sent by an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess when I looked at it some more, I couldn't help but noticing some other places in Scripture where it refers to Jesus as the one who is sent. You know, apostle means a sent one. Yeah, for example, obviously in John 3:16, where it says that God sent His Son, and there's other references too where. Mm-hmm. we see Jesus referred to as one who is sent, like Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. It says, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. So Jesus is an apostle. He's sent by our Heavenly Father.
So he's one who was sent. That's what apostle means. How is he a high priest of our confession?
High priest of our confession. Now, the scriptures tell us how Jesus makes atonement for our sins. The priest would atone for people. The priest would offer sacrifices in Old Testament times for the people. Christ offered the sacrifice of himself for us. In addition to that, we also see in Scripture how Jesus today continues to intercede for us, similarly to how the priests in the Old Testament would speak to God on behalf of the people.
And why is it important that he was faithful to him who appointed him?
Jesus was sent by our Heavenly Father. Jesus was sent by the Father to do the Father's work, and he accomplish that perfectly on our behalf.
So just as Moses was also faithful in all God's house, Jesus was faithful as well. Any other comments on any of that text, verses 1 through 1 and 2, before I move on to 3 through 5 here?
No, just a little bit of background, you know, how it's a succession, kind of like a succession, how the author here begins the letter by speaking about how Jesus, how God speaks to us today through his Son. And then the second chapter, he shows how Jesus is more than the angels.
Mm-hmm.
And now in chapter 3, he's speaking to that Jewish audience, saying that Jesus is superior to even to Moses.
For Jesus, at verse 3, for Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. And so here we see a comparison between Jesus and Moses. Why a comparison between Jesus and Moses? Jesus had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses.
You know, for the Jewish people, in Jesus' day, for Jewish people, they're pretty hard to come up with someone that is more highly regarded than Moses. You know, even in the New Testament, we see Moses being referred to like about 80 times, and nobody else is mentioned that many times. Or Old Testament people. No Old Testament person is mentioned as many times as Moses.
And so Moses was certainly key for the Jews. He was God's servant. He was sent to deliver God's word. A foreshadow of Jesus, right?
Correct.
So Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. So this comparison with a builder of a house having more glory than the house itself. The next few verses, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now, Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. What's this picture being painted with a house and honor and God and Jesus and Moses?
You know, if we look at that, consider that house to be the house of Israel, and Moses being considered the, in some sense, one of the founders of that house, caretakers of that house, by the one to whom God gave the law, and the law being such a big part of that house, but the one who really gave that law was not Moses, but God himself.
We're studying the daily lectionary today. We're in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. If you have questions, you can give us a call or an email. We'd be glad to include that in the conversation this morning. The phone number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, KFUO at KFUO.org. As we're studying Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19 with Pastor Todd Frusty from Trinity Lutheran Church in Davison, Michigan. So Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. So we are God's house. What does it mean what does it mean to be God's house?
What does it mean to be God's house? We are God's house, as Peter puts it, as living stones. God lives in us. God works through us. We're part of his house by faith in Jesus.
And if we hold fast to our confidence and our boasting in our hope, if we hold fast to our confidence, what is our confidence?
Our confidence is faith in Jesus. Faith in what Jesus did. Faith in Jesus as God's Son. Faith that when Jesus went to the cross, he paid for our sins in full.
Amen. Amen. Every house, going back to verse 4, every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Does this mean that we can't we shouldn't take credit for anything that we build with our own hands?
Correct. You know, similar to what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, where he writes, "We are God's workmanship; we're created in Christ Jesus for His good works." We're created in Christ Jesus. God is the one who created our faith. We cannot take credit for it.
So God is the one. He is the builder of all things good.
Exactly.
Well, very good. Shall we, any other comments on verses 1 through 6, Pastor?
You know, I think we can make a connection on what we were just talking about there, too, about when we talked about God being the builder. God is the one who created our faith. If we go back to verse number 1, where the author refers to us who share in a heavenly calling, it's not something that we brought upon ourselves.
Uh-huh.
A heavenly calling.
So it's something that's external that has come to us. It's not something that comes, as you said, in and of ourselves, but rather comes from the outside, a heavenly calling.
Exactly. The work of the Holy Spirit, not ourselves.
Right, that the third article of the Apostles' Creed, as we confess, that God is the one who does all the work. We don't do it in and of ourselves, but God is the one who does it.
Right on, yes.
Well, we are in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19 today for our daily lectionary study with Pastor Todd Frusty. If you have questions, you can give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 or email KFUO at KFUO.org. We need to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll press on with verses 7 through 19 this morning. So stick around for more as we're studying the daily lectionary right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
God said, "I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." A beautiful assurance for you and me from the one who gave you the God-man of Calvary. I'm Mark Hawkinson. Join me for scripture, music, trivia, stories on the lighter side, encouragement from God's side. That's Moments of Assurance weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO, underwritten by Mid-American Coaches.
As Jews observe Passover and Christians mark Holy Week, President Barack Obama is hosting observances for both at the White House, with a Passover Seder scheduled today. Yesterday, he told ministers at his annual Easter prayer breakfast,
"In these holy days, we recall all that Jesus endured for us, the scorn of the crowds and the pain of the crucifixion in our Christian religious tradition. We celebrate the glory of the resurrection, also that we might be forgiven of our sins and granted everlasting life."
President Obama also fondly recalled his recent meeting with Pope Francis at the Vatican and,
"In closing, I'll just recall that old prayer that I think more than one preacher has invoked at the pulpit. Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough."
I'm Steve Coleman.
Have you ever thought about becoming a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor? There are plenty of reasons to do so. Perhaps a birthday, an anniversary, celebration of a baptism, confirmation, graduation, any event. It's easy. Just call Mary or Joni at 1-800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524. And become a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor today.
Welcome back to His Time as we're studying the Daily Lectionary on this Holy Tuesday, April 15th. We are in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19 with our guest pastor, Todd Fristy, from Trinity Lutheran Church in Davison, Michigan. Pastor, are we ready to go on to verses 7 and following?
Sounds good.
"Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways as I swore in my wrath. They shall not enter my rest." Let's pause there. What is this quote? What is this reference that we see in verses 7 through 11?
The author of Hebrews is here referring back or quoting from Psalm 95. I like in verse 7 how he introduces it by saying, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says."
Aha. Uh-huh.
You know, that the author of Hebrews is implying that the Old Testament is inspired by the Holy Spirit.
These are not man's words. These are the words of the Holy Spirit. These are the words of God.
Yes, and actually he uses that same phrase again several chapters later, again implying that these words are, you know, the words of the Old Testament are inspired by God, the Holy Spirit.
"Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years." Takes us back a little while, doesn't it?
It sure does, back to the Exodus.
Mm-hmm. And what an appropriate week, I suppose, to consider that text, right?
It sure is, yes.
As we are in the middle of Passover this week. "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years." While there might have been rebellion, God still worked and provided for them for 40 years, correct?
Sure did. Yes, He did. In many ways. And they experienced His grace, His goodness, His love, His providence. But too often they forgot about it and rebelled. And complained.
And then after that, people stopped being rebellious, right?
They continued to complain and forget.
And yet God still provides His works. He still provides graciously and generously for His people.
Mm-hmm. Just like He does today.
Mm-hmm. Verse 10, "Therefore I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." This sounds like a lot of law there. What is God saying in this. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways, as I swore in my wrath. They shall not enter my rest.
You know, in verse 10, where the author writes, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. You know, sometimes I oftentimes think that, if we don't know God's ways, if we're not listening to His word, our hearts are going to go astray. And then here the author is, saying it in reverse order, that when we go astray, then we kind of also ignore God's ways, ignore His word. Kind of thought that was a neat passage there.
And they shall not enter my rest. What is my rest? What is God's rest?
You know, for us, as we're reading it today, I believe that rest is our hope, our promise of eternal life in heaven, and being with God for all eternity.
So true rest, you know, we might take rest here when we sleep or when we relax. We might find ways to rest, but true rest, what's the difference between the rest that we encounter by resting or taking a nap or sleeping or that, you know, resting from work here? What's the difference between that kind of rest and God's true rest here in verse 11?
You know, this kind of rest that we have here when we take a siesta or a nap or whatever, we have to go back to work again, and we have to go back to taking a nap again or resting again. The rest that God is talking about is perfect. It's complete. It's trouble free. It's worry free.
And unending, as you were saying.
Yes, an unending. It's not a temporary rest.
So, according to God's wrath, those who go astray in their heart, who have not known His ways, they'll not enter His rest. Is that right?
That's right. Unless they seek His grace, His forgiveness through Jesus.
Take care, brothers, lest, verse 12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Who wants an evil, unbelieving heart? Nobody, right?
Nobody, but it's out there.
It's out there, it's very easy, in some sense, to fall away from the living God.
It really is. And the letter of Hebrews is a good letter of exhortation, of encouragement to stay in relationship with God and listen to Him, follow Him.
And the author here says, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This phrase, as long as it is called today, what does that imply? What is that all about?
The here and now.
Mm-hmm.
What's our maybe similar to a modern expression of make hay while it's day, or maybe seize the moment, carpe diem.
Uh-huh.
You know, don't put off a relationship with Jesus for tomorrow. I think when he uses that word today in verse 13, he's going back to verse 7. Where he's quoting the psalmist, Psalm 95, today, if you hear His voice. And, those words were written in the Old Testament, and now the writer in New Testament times is reusing that word to, you know, make use of today. Make use of today to listen to God's voice and follow Him. Put your hope, your trust in Him. Through Jesus.
For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. We've come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. What is our original confidence?
Original confidence would be knowing that Jesus is the Messiah promised from Old Testament times. Trusting in Him, trusting in His death and His resurrection. Original confidence being hope in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except by Him.
We're studying Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19 today. If you have questions, you can give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's go to the phones now, and let's talk to Cheryl in Indianapolis. Good morning, Cheryl. Thanks for calling. What's your question this morning?
Good morning. I was just wondering, these verses, that to me, it seems like they're connecting back to chapter 2, verse 15, where it says, talking about Jesus, that He Himself partook of the same things, so that He would be able to deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery, and the slavery to the fear of death, Jesus has power over that. And I was looking up on the third commandment as it's written in Deuteronomy 5:15, and remember, God's commanding them to remember this, observe the Sabbath day. And then in verse 15 it says, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Well, I'm thinking, you know, Jesus on the cross, he took more than one outstretched arm to free us from the slavery to the fear of death. He had to stretch both of his arms and give his life, offer up his life. And if we don't trust in God's promises, if we, our hearts go astray from trust in His word of promise that this is what Jesus won for us, there's no way we're going to have rest.
Well, thanks for pointing us back to that text, Cheryl, that discussion on slavery. Well, thanks so much for your call this morning, Cheryl.
Okay, thank you.
Pastor, any thoughts on Cheryl's comments on how this text refers back to previous texts on slavery?
No, I like that verse in chapter 2, verse 15, where it does say that, you know, because of Jesus, we don't have to be slaves to the fear of death. In Hebrews chapter 3, you know, the author is here pointing us again to Jesus, and he frees us. He promises us something far better than the fear of death. He promises us an eternal rest. That rest is completely opposite of a fear of death. Rest is peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Rest is good. A lot different from a fear of death.
Verse 15, as it is said today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts in rebellion, as in the rebellion. Who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. So who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Were there people... Oh, go ahead, Pastor.
Sorry. Those were the people who God led out of slavery in Egypt toward the Promised Land. But then they rebelled, they complained, they grumbled, and they weren't able to enter the Promised Land. Instead, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness.
And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Yeah, wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? Is this talking about those who died in the wilderness?
Yes, those who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation passed away.
And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? During this time, even though he led them out to freedom, they were still disobedient.
Yes. They had disobeyed him, and they didn't trust him either. No, they sent spies into the Promised Land, and the spies came back with a report, and only two of them, had confidence that they'd be able to enter the Promised Land. Only two of them had confidence that God would deliver the land to them, even though they had seen so many great things done by God. They, when it came to entering the Promised Land, they just didn't trust that God would let them take it, or would be able to let them take it. And so they wandered for 40 years.
Speaking of that time in the wilderness, we have a call from Mike in St. Louis. Good morning, Mike. Do you have a comment about the time in the desert?
Yeah, I can't open my Bible quick to find it, but where you guys were talking about the dead bodies laying in the desert... That part, you just read that verse.
Verse 17, yes. Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness?
Well, yeah. Well, couldn't that be referring to the... Remember when they were complaining about manna, that it tastes like fresh oil, and they wanted meat, and then when they ate the quail, it killed them almost instantly as soon as they ate it. It could be referring to them people.
Pastor, your thoughts?
It could be. Yes, it could be.
All right. Well, thanks for your call this morning, Mike. So, verse 19. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. So it's because of unbelief that anyone is unable to enter into God's rest.
Correct. Similar to what we hear in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, when Jesus says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned."
Looking back over the whole reading this morning, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19, what are your thoughts on the text? I guess culminating thoughts from this text this morning to share with us today, Pastor.
My culminating thoughts are, it's a strong call for us to keep our eyes on Jesus and not fall back to where we may have come from, and to use every opportunity to listen to God's Word, learn from His Word, and believe what it says, and let it be a message that points us to Jesus today and every day of our lives.
Amen. Always going back to the word that points us to Jesus. Well, we've been studying Hebrews chapter 3 today, verses 1 through 19, with Pastor Todd Frusty from Trinity Lutheran Church in Davison, Michigan. Pastor Frusty, thanks so much for being our guest this morning on His Time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
God's blessings to you and the saints there at Trinity in Davison, Michigan, this week for as you gather together to hear God's Word and receive His gifts this Holy Week.
Thank you. God's blessings to you, too.
Thanks. Coming up in a little bit, we'll enjoy some sacred music, then we'll join together for morning prayer during the 9 o'clock hour, all part of His Time right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.